Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this last Sunday of the church year is our gospel reading, which is St. Luke chapter 23, verses 27 through 43, but I'm going to focus on the ending of verse 40, but I'll read the entire verse. But the other answered, rebuking him, the other thief crucified, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment?" These are the words of our Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear these words again. Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? This man was speaking of our guilt, you know. Yes, his and the man who was nailed to the other cross. Yet, we truly, all of us, belong up there too. No, really. Ever give that some thought? Do you not fear God? Some don't. Some don't even give him a thought. Maybe once they had a pang of guilt, but then nothing happened to them, so they were at ease thereafter, thinking they got away with it, that maybe God was not watching or not even there. Yes, and many just cover up and fill life with as many types of anesthesia that they can, that will numb, tonics of any sort that they can get away with, as much distraction as they can stuff their days, legal or otherwise. And they manage. They cope. They buzz their way through life. All this at least until the end approaches. But even to the very last minute, like that guy on the other cross, they are trying to find anything to keep him and his ways away, out of sight and out of mind. King David asked in one of his psalms, "Why do the heathen rage and these people plot in vain?" He goes on to say that they wish to break all bonds that hold them back, loose those fetters of good and right and morals and ethics, them to be blown away in the wind. Yes, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow. Well, let's not talk about tomorrow, please. And so they don't. How true. What is truth? Whatever we can get away with. Yes, even Christians try this. How much before God gets ticked off at us, how much can we do or try before it is too late? Before tomorrow does come. Do we even fear God? Do so before it is too late. What if God requires your soul this very night? What then? Is not meeting your Maker something that you ought to think about before that moment? So repent. Do so daily. No, really. That is what we are to do. Live a life of repentance. Daily repent and drown that old Adam that we all have. Not the new one. Many drown the new one at the request of that old Adam and the world and the devil. No, drown the old Adam, so that the new can arise daily and come forth to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Know that quote? Remember that quote? It's from your catechism. The fourth chief part, baptism. Remember your baptism. God will not be mocked. He did not die so that you can continue to live in sin, to live like pigs in slop, or to just stink up his creation. Do you not fear God? Jesus said not to fear man and what others can do to this life or your body. No, he said to fear God, who can and will throw both body and soul into hell. King David, the psalmist, goes on to complain about those who do not fear God, that they are seemingly prosperous in all that they do. They are at ease, he says, and they abound in sin and gain from it even. They maim and kill and steal, and then use and abuse. They take over and build empires. But David says, all the same, it is better to be a doorman in the sanctuary of the Lord than to revel in the tents of the wicked. Because even empires are here today and gone the next, all very fast. Power is held but for a short time. Wealth is given to others. All of it is in vain, empty and wasting away, thin and fragile, topples by a breath, the breath of God himself. Then comes eternity, a brief breath, one little word, then the end. Do they then not fear God? Don't they ever think and ask, what is next? What is after? What happens with all of what they try and do, strive for, accomplish? All their attempts to do without him, to make heaven here and themselves gods. The Holy Spirit, through the psalmist, tells us that God just laughs. They are the mice who roared, the ants who stormed the castle. Yet many think they will succeed. As if humanity and the world will get better, that they will make it a paradise again without him. But it comes to nothing, and so fast. It is funny in a very pathetic and tragic way. And the other funny part, the great irony of it all, is that it actually helps us in the end. We gain and they lose. God works it all for our good. And would for theirs too. Only they won't. So even if the good die young, they inherit the earth and eternal days to live on it. Even if bitterly do we live and die here, we have lost nothing if we are in Jesus. All that the ungodly do and have comes to nothing and is gone. All gone in the end, and then what is good? It goes to us. Yes, the bride of Christ, his church, inherits all that Jesus has, everything, in other words. And these others, these haughty, self-made usurpers of God's creation, they're at a loss. They meet their end. The end for them comes quicker than does the end of all things. But this, the end, is also at hand. The end of all their making trouble, all the devil's proposed trouble, purposed trouble. God does not delay. When it comes, all will see it, and those who have not feared God, who ignored him and his calling them back to him, back home, who have seared their consciences so that no guilt ever touches their hearts and minds again, then they will fear, so much so that they will search for ways to hide from he who comes in judgment, as if all along they have ever been able to hide before. King David talks about this too. There is no place to hide, never was. God is there. God is here. All, everything, and everyone is always before the face of God. In him we live and move and have our being, even those who don't think so. They have their backs to him and pretend that he is not there. They don't acknowledge him, and they stop their ears from hearing him, even though he is always calling. He is always calling them. Adam, Adam, where are you? So for a while, they think they're hidden. Like Adam and Eve thought, hiding in the bushes, covering up what they have done. Then he will come. Come on the clouds in glory. This time, though, not in grace and mercy. Then they will want to find cover quickly. Any cover. Even wishing that the mountains would fall on them to hide them. Then those dry and dead, the lifeless ones who have spent themselves on evil, the chaff that is left, those branches brown and brittle, these will be cut off, picked up, and thrown into everlasting fire. All gone. All of it gone. All of them gone. The end. And then the beginning. For his beloved, for us. The start of life, new and green, brooks overflowing with the spring rains of righteousness, milk and golden honey reflecting the new day, the eighth day of the new creation. Yes, Jesus will remember us, his chosen in his kingdom, paradise on the new earth. He cannot forget his own, those whom he called, whom he has chosen, and whom he has justified with his own blood. Those he washed and clothed, those Jesus made alive again. Holy and acceptable to him and his Father by his Holy Spirit in word and in water and in bread and wine. He's talking about you. He is remembering you. Then true life begins in earnest. Full life, life as never lived before. Yes, in the paradise of our God. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, we pray. Jesus tells us this day, yes, he has and he will. All things are yes and amen in him. No one the Father has given him. No one the Father has given him can be snatched out of his hand. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.